always very interesting, especially when you start bringing in expert witnesses, because you have experts on the case itself that already have come to their conclusions. And then if you want to refute that, you can bring in your own witnesses, and those expert witnesses will testify, if they're ethical, to what they believe is the case. Sometimes you have expert witnesses that come in that will testify to what, you know, you want them to testify to, and you're paying them as well. I'm not saying that is the case here, but the trial of Chad Daybell took an interesting turn as forensic psych pathologist, rather. Dr. Kathy Raven took the stand in the trial, asserting that Tammy Daybell's cause of death should be classified as undetermined. This testimony challenges the findings of the Utah medical examiner, who previously ruled the cause of death as asphyxia. And if you were playing along at home before that, it was, I don't know if it was undetermined or what, but it wasn't asphyxia. I think natural causes is what it was, because they didn't do an autopsy. Yeah. Chad really wanted her just to be buried really quick and didn't want to have any of that looked at, which made no sense at all. And then they exhumed the body, and then they figured, oh, asphyxia, take a look at this. The court began with the prosecutor, Wixom, addressing a minor inaccuracy in Heather Daybell's testimony regarding her communication with Detective Hope. Both Wixom and defense attorney John Pryor agreed that this issue was inconsequential, and the court moved forward without further concern. Judge Boyce noted that the defense had two more witnesses scheduled to testify, but they were not present. Until their arrival, the court addressed matters outside of the jury's presence. The procedural adjustments continued on. Dr. Kathy Raven, a board-certified forensic pathologist with over 25 years of experience, provided critical testimony. She reviewed Tammy Daybell's autopsy report, photos, toxicology results, and various investigative documents. Raven concluded that the cause of Tammy's death should be classified, like we said, as undetermined due to the lack of anatomical evidence, saying, quote, there was no anatomical cause of death found for Tammy Daybell. Raven testified all her organs appeared normal, and the toxicology report was extensive with no positive findings, making poisoning unlikely. Well, nobody said poisoning. Asphyxia is not poisoning. Raven also addressed the bruises on Tammy's body, describing them as nonspecific and inconclusive in determining the cause of death. The bruises on her arms were nonspecific and could not definitively point to asphyxia. And here's Raven, Dr. Kathy Raven, explaining her finding. Let's take a listen.
You came to a conclusion in your report in regard.
It should also be noted, Dr. Kathy Raven did not see the body and did not actually examine the body. This is just her opinion of a report.
Parts of this case, is that correct?
Yes.
And what was that conclusion?
My conclusion was that since there was no anatomical or toxicological cause of death, no injury to account for death, that it would be best classified as a cause of death as undetermined.
Okay. Now, when you say no physical cause of death, you did review Dr. Christensen's testimony. Is that correct?
Correct.
And there was some mention, at least during this trial, of the bruising on the arms. Is it your conclusion that those bruises could not be taken in consideration to support a different conclusion of asphyxia?
Well, again, the bruising on the arm is nonspecific. They're just bruises on the arm. They don't indicate a cause of death. They don't cause death in and of themselves. They're just nonspecific bruises on the arm. So I don't believe it supports a diagnosis of anything other than there was some blunt injury to the arms.
Okay. And in regards to the suggestion that if someone were to sit on the chest of someone to try to cause asphyxiation, did you examine or look into that possibility?
Objection, Your Honor. Counsel's testifying misstates the prior testimony.
Sustained.
Would it be a possible basis of asphyxiation by suffocation by sitting on someone's chest?
It's a difficult question. It's very difficult to sit on somebody's chest and kill them. There are reports. There was one scientific study done back in 2017. I believe it was out of San Diego, where they actually tried to figure out how much weight it would take, how much pressure it would take to do that. Usually when somebody does asphyxiate, it's usually a several people on top of somebody, or in a crowd. You've heard of the stadiums where the crowds get stuck and everyone gets pushed together. That's several bodies. It's not just one. This particular study said it would be probably 450 plus pounds that would have to require to sit. So I think it'd be extraordinarily hard to sit on somebody, a healthy young person anyways, maybe an old febrile person you might be able to, but I think it'd be very, very difficult and unlikely.
Okay. And then the possibility of asphyxiating them by just holding their arms, that's not going to do it either, correct?
Just hold. Objection, Your Honor. This misstates prior testimony. Move to strike.
Overruled.
Would just holding somebody's arms and leaving bruises, is there a way to asphyxiate someone that way?
No. So asphyxia just really means that there's no oxygen getting to the blood to supply our organs. So several things can cause asphyxia. Asphyxia is just a mechanism. It's not really even a cause of death. It's always due to something. So it might be asphyxia due to drowning where we're not getting oxygen, asphyxia due to choking, asphyxia due to strangulation. So asphyxia in itself just means that they're not getting oxygen. That's a very nonspecific term.
Did you see any indication that there was any damage to the neck or the throat?
No, there was no obvious damage to the neck. There was some damage caused by the embalming process. May have obscured, at least on the right side of the neck, but there was no obvious hemorrhage or other injury.
Kind of contradicting the the actual person who did the autopsy.
Yeah.
And what is the, what's this idea of sitting on someone? Like, we're...
Well, wasn't that an odd thing to just bring up out of really nowhere?
Kinda. Yeah. That just seems bizarre. I don't know. Reagan Price, a neighbor of Chad Daybell, testified about hearing a gunshot before September 9th and discussing unusual events with law enforcement. Price mentioned creating a timeline with her husband to make sense of the strange occurrences involving their neighbor. Gotta love it. Chad Daybell, here's that testimony.
You heard a gunshot, then?
Yeah, and they said it was a raccoon. And it was about that same time we had sent the timeline to Ron because we checked our phone and it was like the Rob Lidge, is that the prosecuting?
Uh-huh.
Okay. We had talked to them and we had looked it up on our phone records when to try to put it together.
Yeah.
You know? But like our neighbors up here, like they will go shoot birds and stuff in the mornings. And so we'll hear that sometimes, but it was close. And like our bedroom window is right here. And we sleep with the window open most of the time. Because
did you see anybody out there?
No, but we just heard it. So that's what we were thinking. We're like, you know, it was the afternoon because he would have been at work. That it would have been morning.
Morning.
So. Huh. Anyways, we'll just keep thinking.
Yeah, no, and even details that you're like, that's probably nothing. We take them, right?
Well, that's what we decided after we told him because we're like, we sat on it for a while, and then we're like, well, maybe it will help, you know. So
yeah, yeah.
Just our timeline experience with them,
yeah.
You know, because we weren't around them a lot, but the few times we were, it's easy to remember because we weren't around them a lot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for talking with me. I appreciate it. I'd like to get back to your kids, and I'm sure we're all being. You're all over the news right now, Fox News.
CNN. I was actually kind of glad that it wasn't all day. I'm like, are we going to hear that like all day? Because it was like nice. This is the most peaceful this road has been in so long.
Don't have to worry about kids.
They're
no one here. So
why not? Probably like this, not personal.
We seriously do because we were going to build our house this year, but I told you like we wanted to get the rest of our debt paid off before we built it. We're just going to build it out here. And we went out there to scope out where we were going to put it. And I'm like, do you hear that?
Judge, I can stop at this point.
It's just that much further away from it and you don't hear it.
Yeah. So neighbors hearing gunshots. It's those raccoons, those darn raccoons that Chad has on the property.
You know, I know a lot of people will sit and like kill varmints and things. And it just seems weird. Like, I don't know. I mean, I've lived out in the country. I've lived next to people who, you know, you're always hearing gunshots, but I just think that's a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like their interactions with their neighbors were just absolutely bizarre. Like it wasn't, you know, you'd meet them at the fence line and sit and, you know, talk about your day. It was, oh, they shot something again. I mean, they just seem like they were really different, you know?
Like, let's just go kill random things around the yard for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then bury them, you know, then put them in the backyard, literally bury them in a pet cemetery. And God knows what else they found back there.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet the neighbors are like, oh my God, our property values just tanked.
Completely. Completely. They're kind of off by themselves, but there was enough people that were somewhat close that are like, oh my God. John Pryor wrote some issues in the courtroom about Heather Daybell. Let's take a listen to that.
Judge, I just wanted to call to the court's and the defense's attention under my duty of candor to the court some information that came in through a witness a few weeks ago that we subsequently found, at least, is inaccurate. We don't have any reason to believe it was intentional at all. But the court and counsel might recall that we called Heather Daybell as a witness, and in doing so, asked a few questions specific to whether or not she had provided any information to Officer David Hope. David Hope was her daughter's father-in-law, and she had answered no. In fairness, and looking back at the record, I think in fairness, she probably perceived that question as having done so on a personal basis. After her testimony a day or two later in preparation for a different witness, I had reviewed another police report. In this case, there are many, but had for the first time found her name referenced in an entirely different report with David Hope. It did not appear that she gave any information in that, but she was in an interview with that officer. We immediately, once we realized this, disclosed that to the defense so they could be aware of it. If there's any, they felt any need to call that to the jury's attention and the court's attention. I at least up until this point, I don't believe they've felt that need. I think it's probably fairly inconsequential, other than after the testimony, we became aware that it was inaccurate testimony. Again, not disparaging Ms. Daybell. I don't think she at all intended to give incorrect testimony. I think it's been 5 years since this case began, and I think it was probably just an oversight on her part, if not confusion from the line of questioning. So again, out of candor, we just wanted to note that for the record.
So the judge was like, yeah, not a big deal. And then they continued on. But this was kind of a big deal. John Pryor, Chad's attorney, slipped up in court. Call it a Freudian slip. Call it whatever you want. But take a listen.
Dr. Raven, Ms. Blake went over a litany of other reports and statements from other witnesses, a variety of other documents. When a forensic pathologist is examining a variety of other documents that are not related to the medical reports and the scientific evidence, is that an example of confirmation bias?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation.
Overruled.
Is that an example of confirmation bias when you take into account all of these other reports, documents, statements of people who are not present at the murder?
Not present at the murder.
Oh, my.
You're arguing for your client that it was not a murder, John. Whoops. I mean,
sorry about that.
He's got to, you know, it's got to be hard to do this case if you're John Pryor, because I'm sure he doesn't believe that Chad Daybell is innocent. But he's got to do his job, and it would be hard not to slip up, quite honestly. But, there you go.
You had one job to do, John.
One job.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.